Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking to Mrs. Green. And I have to tell y'all why I brought Mrs. Green on today. I was out scouting the land, y'all, and y'all know that's a big thing for me. That's about looking at what's my next. So I was here at the Lexus dealer, and I said, you know what? I'm going to look at what's going to be my new ride, what's coming in new. And so as I'm here, I meet this woman who is full of joy, light, and full of the word. And I said, you know what? I've got to share her with the rest of those with my group, my audience, because she was just teaching me and sharing with me how you can have everything God's way. You know, it's amazing how we have so much in this world telling us you have to do it the worldly way, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way, you know, but when God gives you a way, his way gets you where he wants you to be and connect with who he say you can connect with. So I want to welcome Mrs. Green. And the first question I want to ask is, tell us about your childhood.
Okay. Good morning. And I definitely appreciate you having me. And I felt just as awesome as you did when I met you. Okay. My childhood, I came up under my great grandmother, and she would have this thing she would say to my siblings who were much older, at least anywhere from 10 to 13 years older than I am. And every day, other day or every day, they would come in and have gotten into something that came against their lives. And she would always say, blessed is he who have seen and still believe, but more blessed is he who have not seen but believe. And see, that first process is, it gives you an opportunity to understand you might go through a bad experience, but if you repent and go back to doing things God's way, then you're still going to get blessed. But as a child being 5 years old, and I heard it with my five-year-old ears and heart, I thought, I wonder why they keep doing that. You know, she just said that the other day, don't do, you know, whatever the circumstances was, it applies all around the board, right? And so anyway, from that point, I decided that I was going to do a more blessed life. And I also understood as time went on, by the time I'm like 13 or so, I realized there was work to be done to get that more blessed life. And it's simply knowing the word of God, having given your life to him, and also doing the things the way the Bible tells us to do them, regardless to how we feel about it. That's so, how my childhood was.
I love how you this blessed life. And you said for you, knowing at 5 years old, for you, you had made a literal decision at 5 years old that still carries with you now. You said you listened to it with your five, you made a decision with your five-year-old heart and carried the decision through your mouth and your five-year-old ears. And then as you talked about this, you said it was about living a blessed life. I'm going to kind of count that down how you said it, how I heard it. You talked about being in the word, staying in the word, knowing and believing in the word, and moving with obedience in the word. And you talked about as you got older in this area of 13 and above, you knew you wanted this blessed life. How did that actually work out and walk out in your life? What were some of the things that you saw in your life as a young lady in the area of 13 up to 18 that worked in favor for your blessed life?
Okay, well, being the youngest of, I was the youngest girl of 11 children, and seeing my older siblings make mistakes, my older female siblings had children very young, not married. And so for me to be more blessed in that area, I decided, number one, I gotta get married. Okay, that was the first thing I recognized and felt that it was going to be a better idea, a more blessed way, let's just say it like that. I thought that would get me more blessings. I didn't understand at the time that making that decision would also allow me help from my mate. But that's basically, that's what happens.
So it sounds patterned for yourself. Hey, you know what? For me, a part of the blessed life that I want, or the blessed life that I foresee that God wants to give me, is a godly mate, a godly spouse. And then you also talked about knowing at that moment you wanted a spouse. You know, in today's society, everybody is very big on being Miss Independent and having it their own way. And I will say there's even been moments that I've said, you know what, I'm okay without. But that's a part, as you say, the blessing package. Having that mate that God has for you is a part of that blessing package. And then a part of that package is knowing you have a mate that doesn't mind putting their hands to work, that they actually see the house and move.
Right. Hey, but listen, you know, I'm not putting down anything that anyone chooses for their lives. Anything that you want for your life is between you and God. I'm not judging anything. But what I'm saying is, and you're absolutely right, when you make a decision, you have to make a decision and see the consequences all the way to the end. So for me, when I decided that I was going to get married because I saw so many females in my family have children without mate and they ended up on welfare and things like that, and also seeing at the time as I'm growing up that welfare was not enough to get through the month. You know, and it's like, okay. And so that decision made me feel like the more blessed part of this would be to have a mate. And so that for in that particular situation, that's what I saw. And so many other things along the same type of line, the same principle, I just applied it as the circumstances came up.
In our conversation, you know, most times people will say, well, call me so-and-so. You stress during our conversation constantly, call me Mrs. Green. And I want you to share with our listeners how you talked about marriage being a part of that blessed package and the blessing package. Why is it important to stress using that title of Mrs. Green for other people so they know?
Okay. Yeah, well, first off, in our society, and we have to remember because we're getting so far away from the things of what people say that's old school or whatever the case may be, but we're getting so far away from that that we're forgetting same things, simple things such as it's disrespectful to call somebody by their surname unless they give you permission, especially if you're doing business with that person. But the other thing was when I met my husband, I was somewhere one day and he heard somebody called me by my first name. And he goes, what did they call you? And I said, well, my name is. And so he goes, no, you need to have them call you Mrs. Green because I worked very hard to get you to change your name. And I would appreciate people knowing that we're married by using my name. And I respect my husband, and we're supposed to respect each other, and we do respect each other. And so, and people don't get it twisted. I want to say that Ephesians, I think it's 6:21 or starting at 23, it says, submit one to the other in fear of the Lord. And then it tells the wives how to do it, and it tells the husband. I'm not responsible for my husband's side. I'm responsible for mine. I took a vow to honor my husband. He took a vow to honor me. So his request for me to be called Mrs. Green is just my way of honoring him.
Wow, that's powerful. I think for so many of us, we don't think about that. And I know in this modern day and age, everybody always talks about hyphenating or keeping their own last name. And even in some ways, this is just how wild it has gotten. Men have taken on their wives' names at some point.
Wow.
So it's interesting to hear what it looks like from a mature view, what it looks like to honor your husband. And I think sometimes when we think of honor, we just think of it in some ways, but this is honestly a small way, but a powerful way to honor right. And not only honor your husband, honor the leadership that he brings to your home.
Right.
So go back for a second, because I know we talked about, you know, your childhood and we went into why, you know, the childhood moving all the way up until your marriage. But I want to talk about your life with Christ. When did you know for yourself? You said at 5, you knew something was different. You had your great grandmother speaking about Christ in your life. But when did you say for yourself, absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, I want a life with Christ?
When I was 13 years old. I understood it before then, but I did not at the time as a five-year-old person understand that that was a choice you had to openly make with your mouth and with your heart and with your mind. So when I got to the point, I understood that I had to make this choice and ask Christ by telling him, I believe that God is the Father, and I believe that he is the Son, the one and only Son, and according to the word of God. And by the way, anything that you hear me say in reference to the Bible, just Google it. It'll take you straight to that scripture. So I'm not going to do book, chapter, and verse on anything, but then it says that there is no other way to the Father except through the Son. That being the case, then I felt like that, okay, I got to get him as my personal savior. And then there's a benefit package from the time of Abraham that I also have had an opportunity to live out almost every day of my life ever since.
So talk to me about package, because I know for so many people, you know, they always say, well, I'm tired of hearing people saying they're a Christian, but being a Christian comes with benefits. That's the one thing I tell people all the time. So what does the benefit package have? What part of the benefit package have you experienced?
I personally have experienced almost every part of anything you can read in the Bible: healing, prosperity financially, both in my health, education, anything you can think of. That he, first off, he said, if you stand believing and ask in my name, the Father will give you what you're asking for. And first, you have to be obedient. One of the disciples asked Jesus before he ascended to heaven. He said, you know, Jesus, I love you. And he said, if you love me, obey me. I mean, come on. If you're saying you first off are in a relationship with somebody, and this is one of the things that amazed me about Christians, they say, oh, I'm in a relationship with God. And then I talk about prayer and I talk about, you know, different things, you know, and then they go, oh, no, not that often. But how are you going to have a relationship with God and you don't spend any time with him?
So wait a minute. Literally, relationship with God is a mirror of what your relationship should look like with people on earth.
Come on now, say it. Please say it again. Can you please repeat that?
Well, I'm going to go back because I want to talk about this. The relationship with God is literally a mirror of what your relationship should look like with people on earth. Because to me, you said, how can I have a relationship if I'm only visiting every now and again? And it takes me back to when I was young and when I was in puppy love back in middle school. And I remember when it was puppy love, you took time. Y'all made sure y'all
were every
day. It was at the same time, same class. You took time when you walked, you listened to every word each other said. As you went through and you walked through the hallways, everybody knew y'all was connected. And so it wasn't a hide and shot thing. And then when you got to class, it was always some type of wrapping up that let people know, hey, you know what? That's so-and-so's girl. That's so-and-so's guy. I rock with them. That's what that reminds me of. And I feel like we're in a space now where we've gotten so many different options that we forgot what it looked like to be connected to that first love, that puppy love, that love
okay.
That is the one that we really love, the one that really connected to us, gave us that fire, that glint in our eye, that gleam in our eye, and that pep in our step.
Okay, so let me respond to that. Uh-huh. Here's the thing. Everything you said is absolutely true, and the relationship with God should look, exactly like what you said, because when you walked into school and you saw your friends and associates and so on and so forth, and when they saw you, they even when they didn't see him, they knew you were associated with him. But you got Christians now who, when you see them, you can't tell them from the world.
Ooh.
Ah, she said it.
All right. All right now. So that means if I say I'm doing this and I'm having everything God's way, that means I should honestly have the look of God.
Oh my goodness. We're supposed to have by the blood of Jesus Christ been adopted into his family, right? Yes. And because we got the holy blood in us now, we're supposed to look like him, holy people, that is. And as far as I'm concerned, I have my oldest daughter. I look at pictures of her when she was young. I can't tell if it's me or her. And that part, okay? So what I'm saying is, if we're Christians, we should look like what Christ act like.
Okay, let's go a little deeper, because I know how people love to say, well, I'm a woman of Christ, I'm a man of Christ, I'm a follower of Christ. What does it look like when you're obeying and the crowd don't get along with the obeyed response? Because we see it many times in the Bible. We see it with Peter. We see it with Paul. And we see what it looks like to be in that midst of persecution. But what did it look like for you when you were walking out and stepping out on what God said for you, but it didn't align with the family?
What it looked like for me is I was always misunderstood and used, and they thought they were abusing me, but that was never the case. I only gave what I had to give from my heart as God had given it to me. So it was their perspective of abusing me or misusing me. And because I know it all came from God, because according to the word of God, all good things come from God. So if it was a good thing, let's just say, for an example, it was one of those people you happen to personally not choose to hang with or whatever you want to say, then in order for me to give this out to you, having my personal feelings, then I have got to have been acting like Jesus would act, because he say, let them slap you on the other side. So a person slaps you on one side of your face, turn your cheek and let them slap you on the other side. Turn the other cheek, you know? So, and that's my way of knowing that this is not about me. No, they didn't make me feel good. No, they weren't nice to me. No, they didn't like me or anything like that. But I have got to show up. There's a verse in the Bible that says his children are the light in the city on the hill, which means that God, with his Holy Spirit, is putting us in a place when we're obedient that people will see his light shine in us. So that being the case, regards to if I like this person, regards to if I thought they liked me or anything like that, I had to show them the love of Jesus just the same.
So I'm going to go a little deeper, because the verse you're speaking about is in Matthew.
Go ahead.
I know, you know, we talk about, you know, showing up as Christ. And what I love about that piece, when we show up as Christ, it means showing the love of Christ. And so many times people say, well, I fool with them, or my favorite one, people will say, well, you know, I love them, but I don't really fool with them, or I love them with a long-handled spoon. How do you show and really share what God is and who God is?
Mm-hmm. Listen, let me, can I interject right now? Because yeah. See, that's so important what you just said. You can't love somebody with a long handle spoon if up close and personal is required. And because God orders about footstep, we don't get to decide that. Because think about the fact that Jesus, he's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, creator of the universe, got off his throne to make sure that there was no long handle spoon in dealing with our sin to pay for it.
So what I love, because we're right now in Matthew chapter 5, we're right in the area with the Beatitudes. And when you talked about being the light on the hill, that's verse 14. But I'm going to go a little deeper. And I want to talk about, what does it look like? Because you talked about when you have to go and be the love of Christ and the light of Christ with the love of Christ. Let me get that correct.
Okay.
Loving that neighbor, there is no long handle spoon. It's truly up to personal. And the part that I look at and I think about was when you think about the woman at the well. And this woman had five husbands and truly was working on number six, probably. We just didn't know all of that. And at this point, when Jesus encounters her, he's coming to her. He didn't judge her. He just came to her and said, I got a gift for you. Do you want it? And when you walk in the love of Christ, it's not a condemnness. You're not condemning anybody. You're not hurting anybody. You're coming and showing them truly a mirror and an option. That's how I look at it. I'm showing you the mirror of who you are, what the world sees, and the option of who you can be when you walk with Jesus in me.
And I agree with that, okay? And at the point that you show them the love after you, because you sometimes, you know what I see a lot? I see a lot of women, and this is not like any shade type thing, but you know, I feel at different times when I see these women, I say to myself, oh, they need a friend, you know, because sometimes if you have a friend, they'll tell you, girl, don't wear that. You know, don't go outside with that. So what I think about when I think of that is that because we're supposed to be that person to other people, it's like, okay, I don't care what you feel about this right now. So I need to show you this so you'll know how other people see you. And if you choose to change it, do so. But at least as a friend, I'm making you aware of it. And we go from there.
So I'm going to go a little deeper. You talk about blessings that you have in your life and how God had given you these blessings and how you've seen for yourself these things. If I'm new to the word and I have no idea about Christ, how do I get this blessed life? What does it look like? Because now we're in a space with COVID, and I'm going to be very honest, the building going into the actual brick and mortar church may not be an option for some people where they stay, but how can I get this Jesus that you're talking about?
Okay, so there is a verse in the Bible when it refers to new Christians, so to speak. He says you empty yourself and then you get filled with and good stuff, it says at that point, and you clean all the stuff out of your house that it doesn't, I'm paraphrasing, that it doesn't need, and which is the enemy. And so it says that the enemy goes about roaring as a lion, trying to find a place to devour. And when he can't find that place, he comes back to what he then consider you to be his house, because he wants to dwell in you again, okay? And then he brings seven times more spirits, seven times more powerful. And as a new Christian, you're not going to be able to handle that. So here's the deal. What the scripture is trying to tell you is you have to fill yourself with the word of God. And there's no room. And the word, by the way, spirit means breath, air. And the Bible speaks of when God created Adam, he blew his breath into Adam's nostril. God blew a portion of his spirit, his own personal spirit, into Adam. And the Bible tells us that it took Adam 965 years to die because it was so much power, even after he sinned. So the power of God will sustain us as long as we take in his or allow in his spirit. And one thing for sure, I can tell you, God is not going to coexist in no house us with Satan, period. So it's going to be either God's way. And if God can't have the pilotship of that person to guide that person, then he is not going to do anything. And the only way we get him to be active in our lives is that we follow the word, but you can't follow something you don't know. So that's why you got to learn the house, fill yourself with the word of God. And as you fill yourself with the word of God, when circumstances come up, like, for an example, there was a time when Paul was reminding Timothy that, you know, he needed to get himself together. And he told him and said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So at that time, then what I do is I think about the fact that if I'm feeling a little bit confused or even feeling like maybe I'm gonna have a nervous breakdown or something like that, I think about that verse. I think about that can't be true. I can't really have this in me because God didn't give it to me. So Lord, you're gonna have to help me right now. You're gonna have to get rid of this feeling because it's just a feeling.
And what I love to break this down, I want to go a little deeper in that. I want to talk about the mindset of Christ, because you talk about what it looks like, what we should be thinking on daily. And if I'm a new believer, there's so much going on. I'm getting in the word, and I'm going to say this just for me. When I started in this voyage of being in the word, it literally was 5 minutes a day. I would pick a verse every morning and I would sit down and I would ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that verse to me. Show me what it means. Unlock it. Teach it to me. And I literally would say, teach it to me, Lord, as if I'm two. And I ain't getting it. I've never been in school. I want you to show it to me. Give it to me so that I can understand it, comprehend it, and be able to share it with somebody else. And every time I would say that, somebody would appear and it would happen. But in this process, what does it look like from the mindset of a Christian? What should we be focusing on daily?
Okay, you cannot avoid circumstances. Psalm 91 explains all of that to you. And one of the things I like about Psalm 91 is it tells you if you abide, which means to live in the secret place of the Most High God, here's the deal. And then it further goes down and explain to you that all these things are going to happen in life, and it names what they could be, different circumstances. They're going to happen, but they're not going to come near you. See, that's a mindset. You understand? So not you see the circumstances of life and you see that it is happening, but here's how it comes nigh you or not. If you are in the secret place of the Most High God, you see those things, but you know, because you are living in Him, they can't touch you.
So what I love about this, when you talk about for me, when I talked about the secret place, I always talk about being in that special space, your closet, being in that alone space, that quiet place with you.
Nope. Come out your closet.
Come out your closet?
The secret place. No, I'm talking about come out anybody's closet, because right. That's what a lot of Christians feel, that my secret place. Your secret place is to live holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what he's trying to tell you. He's trying to tell you if you live in him, according to the word of God, mm-hmm. he will live in you, and by no means will anything harm you, according to the word.
Okay. So this means I have to be fully in him and not hide. And that's a very good visual you talked about with the closet, because we always talk about our prayer closet.
Yeah.
You talked about, no, it's time for us to come out of that closet and be bold and let him dwell in you the way he desires to dwell in you.
I understand, like, from a Jewish perspective, real born Jews, they have a philosophy where they meditate on God and they keep God as the focus all day long. And they're in, that's in him, you know, and he's in you. So what we have to do, even if these things come up in our lives, if we think on that which is holy, that which is lovely, and that which is pure, as these things happen, you understand? It happened. I heard, hypothetically speaking, I heard my coworker slander me down to the bone, that bone marrow, okay? It was not pretty at all. But then I heard about it and I took it in and I go, they can say what they want to say. And then I start thinking about all the loveliness of the power of the love of God by his blood. That's what I did. And then when I started doing that, I ain't got no room for that other stuff.
So in other words, for me to really walk in the mind of Christ and walk in the way of Christ, I can't go back and tell him or her how I feel. I can't clap. I can't be putting subliminal messages and cryptic messages and posts and finding quotes to back them up. I gotta still be like, oh, they're yours, God.
No, you go find some scripture that tells you about the love concerning those circumstances and share them. That's what you do.
Okay. That's a part of having the mindset of Christ. That's a part of being a part of that blessed life. I also like, and I want to use this right before we get to our end, you talk about the seed and harvest. We've heard this for forever, you know, seed in. And what does that look like for you? I want to hear your viewpoint on that.
Okay, here's the deal with that. And this is one of the things that I get an opportunity with many Christians to go right to, and they always want to plant something. And the deal is, the Bible says that as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest time. But who are you to decide what harvest it is or what season it is? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says some will plant, some will water, and God will give the increase. And so we got this Christian coming along and they decide, I need to plant a seed. Excuse me. I need to plant a seed here, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody has already planted a seed. So that means that they can't be doing that because that's not God. That is not the order of God. You got to follow God's order. And so that means that if you're supposed to show up in this person's life and deliver anything, then you must be the water. And if you're not the water, then you're not doing your job. And then you go sit yourself down and wait until God does his job. He's the Lord of increase.
So wrapping up with our last words for a second, do you have any special shout outs you want to give before we give our last word today?
Yes, I do. There is a group of ladies in Winthrop, Massachusetts, and they're called the Survivors by the Sea. And it's cancer survivor-based organization, and they do wonderful work. And I have one person who I'm especially close to, Mary, and she's probably going to have problems understanding me because I'm Southern, she said, and this is up north. So we speak differently. Mary, I hope that you understood what I was saying, but I love you ladies, and I appreciate the work that you do.
So for anyone today, what would be your last word to help them have the blessed life with God included?
Find a Bible-based church teaching the Bible from the Bible itself and learn for yourself because it is your responsibility. The Bible tells us that we each have to seek God for our own soul salvation. So learn God for yourself by reading it and studying it and doing it, period.
Well, y'all, I'm telling y'all, I got fed so well today. This is a good word. And I tell you, on top of it, it's not just a good word. It's a life-changing word. And if you're like me, you want to be able to have everything God's way. Well, let's go on out and be great because we are great. And our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. Thank you all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Don't forget to join us next week as we jump right into the Kitchen Table Talk.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.